Welcome to the podcast of Fellowship Church in Dallas, Pennsylvania. To find out more about Fellowship Church, visit fellowshipefc.org.
The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And Moses quickly bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped. Welcome again to the Fellowship Church podcast. This is one of your hosts, Jacob Brown, and I am joined by my illustrious co-host, Chris Smott. How you doing, brother?
What's going on? Good. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm a little tired from, the work day, but...
Yeah, it was a little bit hot out today, right?
It was. Yeah, but I'm glad it's warmer, not colder. Honestly, yeah. I like warmer weather.
We don't want to hear anybody complaining about the nice weather.
Yes. Yeah. cross-reference to our last podcast episode.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So today, what are we going to be talking about?
Today we are going to be talking about worship, and we have an extremely special, much more illustrious guest. His name is Pastor Carl. He is in the studio with us. What's up, Pastor?
Hey, guys. It's great to see you and great to be here with you.
Awesome.
Yeah. We're really excited about this. Something we've wanted to talk about for a while now. I don't know about you, Chris, but when Jess and I, my family, joined the church, one thing that solidified fellowship to be our church was their choice of how they focus on worship throughout the whole service. We kind of get this idea that only singing songs is worship, but Fellowship Church focuses, even when you look at the bulletin that you're handed as you walk in, it shows worshiping in song, worshiping through giving, worshiping through the reading of scripture, worshiping through the preaching of the word, and showing that worship is a part of everything we do on the Lord's Day. And so that's something that was really stuck out to, that's something that really stuck out to Jess and I. And so we want to just kind of hit on that with you, Pastor Carl. Just talk about what is worship, why, what was it that drew you to the ministry of worship in the church. And so let's just start with that. So how did the Lord draw your heart into the specific area of pastoral ministry?
Well, it's interesting. I think God was definitely at work before I realized it. I think as a kid growing up, I came to know the Lord pretty early in life, and had a solid home church that I was a part of, and as I grew up, I think just this desire in my heart that God had given me for closeness with God, even through worship, through prayer, through song, was always kind of there to some degree. You know, I certainly was not a perfect kid. I didn't live the perfect ideal life, but even in some of the biggest struggles and challenges of my family's life, I had a brother who passed away when I was a kid. I had, in all of those times, there's just this desire in my heart to spend time with God. So I would go for walks by myself in the woods. I don't remember how young, probably 10, 11, 12. I guess my brother passed away when I was 9. So I remember doing that then, just walking by myself and praying and telling God, I want to trust you. I want to be close to you. I want to do what's right. And so that was always kind of there. So that was maybe some of that going on in my heart, but it wasn't until my, a few other times I realized that God was giving me a great love for his church. And, growing up in that got stronger and stronger. And I think in college really, was a very strong desire of my heart. The only way I can describe it was a deep love for the local church, much so that I knew that no matter what I did for a living, when I got out of college with my math degree, because I went to be a math nerd, I was a math education major. When I got out of college with my degree, wherever God put me, I wanted to go find a church and just pour my life into it, just because of that deep love that I had for the church. And I had started at the same time in college getting involved in some leading worship opportunities. I grew up playing the trumpet. I grew up doing, you know, musical things, but in college started utilizing that, picked up the guitar, was in a singing group. And the purpose of this group was to go to different churches and to facilitate worship, to encourage people to worship. And that just, you know, lit a fire in my heart that, you know, that I it just really, really connected with me. It seemed like a dream come true, honestly, to be able to go into a church and try to encourage people to not look at me, but to look at God and to behold him and to draw close to him and to be encouraged in their faith. So as I graduated from college, long story short, I had all of that coming together in my heart. I just really wanted to see God glorified. I wanted to pour my life into a local church. And then I realized that as I went to go teach at this Christian school, they really had a need for someone not only to lead worship during the chapel services with the school, but the sponsoring church had a need for someone to lead their worship services and to plan their services, to work with their senior pastor and to kind of get mentored in leading worship in that church. And so
that's really cool.
Yeah, not knowing what I was doing, just jumped in with both feet at 21, 22 years old. And I've been leading worship for Sunday services ever since.
Wow.
So, that's awesome. That's kind of how that came to be. And I think that deep love that I had for church, I hope everyone has that, but I connect very much with a pastoral call. I just felt this deep desire to shepherd people toward loving God and to worshiping him and giving their lives to him. So that's a quick synopsis. So I was there, and got involved leading worship there in that local church for the same place for a long time. My wife and I were there for 17 years, and then the Lord led us here, and we've been here for another coming up on 9 years, and that's what God's had me involved with in all of that time.
Amen. Praise God. That's awesome. Well, that kind of segues well into our next question, and that is, can you explain what your role as worship pastor entails, and how do you go about choosing the songs that we will be singing every Sunday?
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I would draw a little distinction between a worship leader and a worship pastor. Worship leader has a particular responsibility of that particular worship service on helping direct people's thoughts and attention to be squarely focused on the Lord and his truth and his word and his son. And like they're just a signpost, they're constantly pointing people to him and guiding, leading through a particular worship service. I think a worship pastor to me has that deeper kind of shepherding responsibility of these are my brothers and sisters in Christ in my local church. And I have some responsibility before God of, am I doing everything I can to encourage them to walk with God? And do I care for their spiritual condition while I'm doing this? And so I think it feels heavier to me, a heavier responsibility in leading worship that I'm thinking that word edify you see in the scriptures, how are they being edified through this worship service? What can I do? And that's a responsibility, as a worship pastor that goes beyond just the Sunday morning service. But that Sunday morning service, that's certainly what's on my mind. First and foremost is the congregation being edified as God is being glorified.
What do you mean there by edify? Maybe there's some who maybe not aren't familiar with that word. What's that mean?
Yeah, I think another way to say it is built up, strengthened, encouraged. I think encouraged to to uh, to see things from God's perspective, to repent. I think how God blesses us is when we see something in our lives that isn't right and we get to repent of it. That's a good thing, because then we're just aligning ourselves with God's truth, and that's a blessing.
Amen. So,
correction, you know, being corrected by God's truth, being encouraged to keep going, to persevere, all of that I think of as being edified. And then also when you think of people with spiritual gifts, that their spiritual gifts are being encouraged, like Timothy was told to fan into flame the gift of God that God is given to you. So you see there's just this energizing of your spiritual life into action.
That's awesome.
Cool.
That's awesome. Very cool. Yeah. So as the worship pastor, feeling that deeper burden than just a worship leader to edify and build up the church, it's important, I think, to know, you know, what is worship? What is biblical worship? So could you give us what you see as the biblical definition of worship?
Yes, I will do that. And I realize I owe Chris the second half of that question too, or both of you. You know, how do we pick songs? So I'll get to that, but I think it's important to say first, when we look at the scriptures, worship certainly is connected to music a lot of times. So worship through song is a very biblical idea. But worship is much, as you said, much more broad than that. The Old Testament worshipers would worship through sacrifice. They would give up things. They would take an offering that was costly to them and they would burn it on the altar, or they would, you know, give an offering of sacrifice. That's part of how they worshiped God. When Jesus appeared to his disciples, he worshiped. It says that they saw him and they saw the resurrected Christ and they worshiped him. It said they fell on their faces and worshiped him. So what does that mean? Were they sitting face down, or were they, you know, giving him money? I think extolling him, you know, just lifting him up in their spirit, just, Lord, you are worthy of our praise. So I think the most helpful understanding for me is that worship really comes from the word of worth-ship, that we're giving God what he is worth, what he's worthy of. And that's a very general definition, give God what he's worthy of. But as we think about it, Jesus said, he held up that coin. He said, whose inscription is on this? It's Caesar. Well, then give to Caesar what is Caesar's. But when you think of mankind, whose inscription is on us? And we are made in the image of God. So to give God what he's worthy of is to literally give him ourselves.
Amen.
And so I would say the giving of our lives to God in worship, giving of our lives to God is worship. Giving of ourselves to him in for his honor and for his glory. Romans 12:1, I think, speaks to that very directly, that I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves a living sacrifice, which is a spiritual act of worship. So it's really God's people just laying down themselves before God and saying, God, I belong to you. Everything I think, everything I do, everything I say, it rightfully belongs to you. And so that's my big general definition of what worship is, giving God what he's worth.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Oh, I still didn't get to
the songs. Yeah.
Right. So yeah, that has always been, there's a whole mixture of prayer and trying to be discerning and just praying, asking God to give me direction and wisdom in that. And one of the things that I really appreciate is that here at Fellowship, we've developed that into a process where it's a team approach. Pastor Mark and I work, we have an ongoing spreadsheet of potential songs to introduce to the congregation. And we'll go through them and we'll each listen to them on our own. And we'll sometimes it'll be something that has meant something special to us in a personal way, you know, from a personal time of listening to worship songs or singing on our own, or maybe we heard somewhere and like, wow, that really impacted us. Let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about a song. We'll evaluate it on definitely the theological truth. Is it biblical? Is number one. You know, if it says something that I can't really explain what it means, then we kind of stay away from it, because I feel like after a service, if somebody comes up and says, "What did that line mean?" I want to be able to answer that question. So there have been songs that we have skipped simply because there's so many good songs out there and I don't need to use a song that I don't understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
And does it fit biblically? Does it kind of fit? We also think about, well, what are the types of songs that maybe we want to do more of, or maybe do less of? Because there's different purposes that they might fulfill in a worship service. More celebratory, or maybe more repentant, or more reflective, or more of a declaration. You know, we look for that. And then it also does have to fit us musically. So I'll take it to a guitar or a keyboard and I'll play through it some myself. I'll try to sing it. And I'll think, is this song congregational? Is this really going to fit to be something that people can learn? You know, as a worship ministry, we do have a working mission statement that the worship ministry of our church exists to engage the congregation in giving praise, honor, and glory to God in the spirit of reverence, submission, obedience, and unity. And so it's all about congregational engagement. I think, boy, this song, I really love singing this, but nobody's really going to join in with it. Mm-hmm. I'll just save that for myself. You know, our focus is congregational engagement, to have people engaged in glorifying God. So, you know, a lot of times people have expressed frustration that they'll go to a sing along with some concert or something, and they're like, all the songs, they're too high, you know, like sing along because it doesn't fit. Thankfully, I feel like God has given me as a gift an average voice in an average range. I try to have things so that the most number of people in the congregation find it singable. And
that's great.
That's awesome.
That's great.
Sometimes musically a song is just too complicated, or it veers left and right and it's too hard to stay with and too hard to learn. And, you know, put it in your CD player, but it may not be what we do on Sunday morning.
I got to say that I always just get anxiety. I mean, back in the day when CDs were a thing, just making like a mixed CD, trying to like find continuity with all the songs and not have a song out of place. And so I can't even imagine. Yeah. I can't imagine the anxiety that goes into like trying to plan something like what songs we're going to sing and all of those factors that you guys consider weekly. Mm-hmm. But it's great to know that you guys are weighing that stuff, the things that we sing against scripture, and making sure that everything is biblical that is contained within the music.
Right.
That's really great.
We're in a great time, a period of time as far as songs that are available. There's so many songwriters, and there's really, really good songwriters that are, and I think they should continue. You know, I've never thought that one particular narrow location in the world or time period, they've got the worship songs and everything else is not worth considering. I think that variety in time and variety in different areas is really valuable.
Amen. Yeah. Jess, my wife has a friend who talks about how we're image bearers of God, as you mentioned a moment ago, and how part of that is how we create, how we're creative with things. Mm-hmm. And he's very musically inclined, and he says that he believes music is the closest thing to creation that God created, because you just look at see how many songs there are in the world. There's innumerable amount of songs, and they're all different. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like you're creating something almost out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really cool. Like music, I love music. Mm-hmm. I'm not very musically inclined myself, but I love music a lot. And it's one way I both privately and publicly love to worship God.
It's pretty awesome to think that, you know, worship is going to continue in heaven. And, you know, we can't wrap our minds around what that's going to look like or seem like or be like, but, you know, God, our incredible creative orchestrator, to is going to work together, every tribe, tongue, and nation together. So all the languages and maybe all the music styles, maybe there's some way that God has that is all just going to fit together. Glorious song of worship to him.
That's awesome.
It continues even in his presence.
That's awesome to think about. We also know that we can be worshiping not just on Sunday, but, you know, like through song and through the receiving of the word, but also with action throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
And all that we do, as you mentioned, that we're giving God everything that he is worth, and that's everything that we are. So what would that look like? What kind of worship would that look like on a day-to-day basis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think understanding that being a worshiper of God is an identity thing for us. It's what he has made us to be. Scripture says he's made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, that he has created us. First Peter says that we're living stones that are being built together to become this place of worship where God dwells. And Ephesians 2 says the same thing, that we're being built together and knit together to become a temple, to become a place of worship. So worship isn't just something that we do, though I think there it is something that we do. I think more important than that, the foundation for that is that that's who we are.
That's
God receives worship from us. That is our reason for existing. Really, you know, it's the chief end of man right there. So, and I think one thing that's really been helpful for me too is that worship is not just individual. I try to underemphasize me and Jesus by ourselves. Because I think we get plenty of that. We're very individualistic people, just naturally, in our culture. And I don't need to emphasize that anymore. You know, that you just need it's just you and a Bible and go for a walk in the woods, and and that's all that being a worshiper means. Now, I need to say that is critically important. I think that should be a part of our day. We can pray without ceasing. We can pray and worship God when we're in the car, just telling him with thankfulness how awesome he is, and just meditating, thinking about, wow, God really is loving and merciful and kind and powerful, and you amaze me, God. And I love you, God. My life belongs to you. You know, say those things, you know, whenever you're by yourself. And on the flip side of that, I think in all of those passages, 1 Peter 2, Ephesians 2, Romans 12, 1, it's talking about us worshiping God as a united community. Church is being built together to be one resonating worship, house of worship, for his glory. And so that's why I think we should worship throughout the week. But I think that can be taken. I wouldn't want someone to say, well, worship is just like all the time, it's just all my life, and then discount how important gathering together to worship him is. You know, like the gathering together, I think, is a mini microcosm picture of where we're headed in heaven, united together for his glory. So it's amazing that worshiping God can be intensely personal, because, you know, God has fulfilled Jeremiah 31, which says they will all know me from the least to the greatest. We know God personally, and it's not only intensely personal, but it's intensely corporate, that it's together. That our identity is that we belong in this spiritual union, glorifying God together. So I just try to keep both of those in view. But throughout the week, I think continue to give God what he's worth. What is he worthy of? Is he worthy of getting up early and just spending time while you're drinking your coffee and just telling him through prayer, Lord, you're glorious. You are good. I want to live for you today. Will you show me how to live make every decision with you as my God? Mm-hmm. The answer is yes. He's worthy of that. You know, every decision that we make, can we make it with the attitude of God, be glorified through the decision that I make right now, be glorified in the way that I lay down my life and love my wife, be glorified in the way that I, you know, take responsibility for my children, be glorified in the way that I use my finances. So we worship God through all those things.
Amen.
It's just keep giving God what he's worth.
That's super encouraging. Yes. That is super encouraging. Well, how can we be praying for you as you prepare and for each service and through your serving each week as worship pastor? How can we be praying for you?
Oh, it's a wonderful question. I appreciate it. I totally rely on God and his mercy to utilize, to work through me in ministry. I'm a sinful human being like anyone else. Sometimes I think I understand things and I don't. Sometimes I think I know what God wants me to do and I have the wrong, and I go the wrong direction. But it is so encouraging those times when I really experience God working through the preparation for our worship services. And sometimes during the worship service, I'll be like, wow, that song right there was a perfect fit for that point in the sermon. And it really like connected. A lot of times that is planned and we try our best to do that. But a lot of times it's stuff we don't see coming or we just didn't know ahead of time, or somebody will share with me how much something really ministered to them. That I need God to do that because he's the only one who knows. He knows every heart, and he knows, you know, what songs he wants to hear on a particular Sunday. What does he want his people to do? What does he want us to lay down at his feet? You know, so I think just the that I would be filled with the Spirit. Really, that's what I ask for. That when I make decisions, that they're the ones that God is leading me to do. You know, as we lead worship, as I lead in prayer. You know, I'm really relying on God working and me just not messing it up. You know, that's my prayer every week. Just preach the word and get out of the way and just don't mess it up. You know.
Amen.
That's my prayer.
All right. Well, thank you very much for this interview, Pastor Carl. It's been majorly enjoyable. And if everybody liked this podcast, make sure to share it on your various social media outlets. And this has been the Fellowship Podcast. We'll see you guys next time.
All right. God bless you guys.